Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been considering this subject, what is spiritual and scriptural marriage and family life? I've tried to emphasize in almost every message the fact that married life, if it's going to be spiritual, is going to have to begin with personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us can be spiritual, and I say this respectfully to every one of you. None of us can be spiritual until we have relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not simply church attendance or church ordinances or any such thing that we do. It's not good works that we do. It is through personal faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin that we begin to have spiritual life. And I respect those of you who may feel that you're very, very religious, but religion is not going to save you. It will not bring you to right relationship with the Lord. Only the Lord Jesus can bring you into that relationship. And I would urge you, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, as your only means of salvation, simply pray to Him. Ask Him to come into your heart and forgive your sins. And tell Him that by faith you're trusting Him as your Savior from sin. And ask Him to just live in your life. The Lord Jesus will hear your prayer and He will save you from your sin. Now we've been thinking of a number of different things concerning family life and what is spiritual and scriptural marriage and family life. Today I want to begin with the subject of the training of the child in the home. We have children now in our home, maybe one child, two children. Some of you may have a number of children in your home. But whatever number you might have in your home, it is important that we understand biblical principles concerning the training of the child in the home. And the scriptures have much to say about this, and we'll only be able to take a very few of these scripture passages, but I want to mention a couple of these passages. If you were to study Deuteronomy chapters 4, 6, and 11, these three chapters in the book of Deuteronomy, they talk about the father-child relationship, the father-son relationship in particular. But they talk about the training of parents of the children in the home. For instance, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, it teaches us, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now what is he speaking of there? He's speaking of the fact, the biblical truths that God has laid down for the people of Israel, and for us as well, of course. He's speaking of biblical truth. Now, the truth in the Old Testament was taught through the law of Moses. Now, we in the New Testament don't follow the law of Moses. Galatians is very clear, the book of Galatians, that is very clear that we're not under the law at all. Nevertheless, we are still teaching them God's Word. And so, whether or not we're teaching the law of Moses, which was for the Jews, and which was designed to show them their sin and to bring them to the place where they would trust the Lord Jesus, or whether we're living in New Testament times and are living by the Spirit of God, God is still teaching us from His Word. And so this speaks of training the child in the things of God. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Another passage is a passage in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And this is a very, very familiar verse. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Many of you have memorized this passage, especially those of you who know the Lord Jesus. You've memorized a passage like this. And this passage is teaching a very, very true principle. That is that when you train the child properly, it is likely that child will never depart from the training he has been given. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we read these words, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, I don't want to put a heavy burden upon you fathers, which you don't want to bear, but I want to say that the primary ministry of training children belongs to the father. The mother also trains the child in various ways, by example, by teaching, and so forth. But the main responsibility for the training of the child in the scriptures was the responsibility of the father himself. And so these are some of the scriptures that apply. As we look, and I want to spend several days on this subject, but as we look at the Old Testament in particular, some have wondered as they look back through Bible history about the sudden decline of Israel into apostasy and idolatry during various times in their history. Sometimes, for instance, and this applied to the book of Joshua, during the time of Joshua, the great spiritual leader of Israel who took the place of Moses, during this time, Israel was in a good spiritual state. In other words, they were walking closely with the Lord and so forth. But almost immediately, as we come into the book of Judges, there was this sharp spiritual decline. Some have questioned, why did this happen? Then as you look at the later history, you can see sometimes there was a righteous king. You see kings like Hezekiah and some of these others who were great men of God. They were righteous kings. But then immediately afterwards, when their sons took over, then the nation began to decline again into the terrible sins and abominations that God hated, and even brought the judgment of God upon them. And the question would be, what was the reason for this? I personally believe that much of the reason for this comes because parents were not teaching their children and the coming generations. Now, I realize, and I'm a grandparent, I have 18 grandchildren, and I realize as a grandparent, when I think back on my four children, much of what they're doing with my grandchildren has to do with what I taught them when they were young themselves. In other words, I had these four children, and as they were brought up, God laid upon my heart the responsibility of training these children in the things of the Lord. And I had this heavy responsibility on me. In other words, it was not a burden that I could not bear, but it was a direct responsibility given to me by God. I was to train these children. So now as I watch these children training their own children, they're following the same principles that I followed as a father to my four children. I'm watching my grandchildren now being brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because their parents have copied many of the principles from the Word of God that were taught to them when they were young, and now they're using these same principles with their own children, training them, teaching them, leading them in the way that God wants them to go. And what I'm trying to say is this, as you look at the history of Israel, you're going to see that there was this failure of parents to pass on to the new generations the things of God. Oh, they were spiritual themselves. They themselves seemed to be walking close with the Lord. But as soon as the parents were gone, as soon as they passed away, and a new generation rose up, or perhaps the second generation rose up, there was a sharp spiritual decline. And it doesn't need to be. We don't need to see it in nations, and we don't need to see it in our own children. And of course, we're speaking now of our own families. But we don't need to see this sharp spiritual decline at all if we're doing what God wants us to do with our children. So in many, many passages of Scripture, you see teaching concerning this. For instance, I've mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, and chapter 8, these three chapters in Deuteronomy, where they speak of the very strict training that the future generations were to receive. You see it again in Joshua chapters 23 and 24. Now, I have mentioned that the succeeding generations failed, but Joshua himself had this intention of training the new generations, where Joshua could say, for instance, to the people of Israel, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, when he speaks of his house there, he's speaking, of course, also of his children. Then you come down into the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, verses 30 and 31, Psalm 44, verses 1 to 8, Psalm 48, verses 9 to 14, Psalm 78, verses 5 to 8. And then from the Psalms, go on into the book of Proverbs, chapters 1 through 6. You're going to find again fathers concerned with children and with grandchildren. Now, in the book of Psalms, he also mentions that even to the young, very young generations, this older man is going to be a testimony to them. In other words, he's speaking of the fact that when he is old, he wants to leave behind a godly legacy. He is going to have trained his own children. he's going to be an influence on his grandchildren, and he's going to leave behind a godly legacy for them. So, from the failures in Israel came forth the arrogant and disobedient spirit of their own children, their grandchildren, and the generations which followed them. And this did not need to be. In other words, these generations could have been trained for God, but they weren't. And so we as parents, thinking now of our own families, we as parents cannot affect the entire society, although we are an example and an influence on the society wherever we are. But we are affecting those closest to us. And I think this is what the emphasis of this whole series of message has been, that we are to affect those closest to us, and they in turn will reach out to the generations around them, to the society around them. And so even very spiritual men often failed. Even though they were spiritual themselves, they failed in training their children properly. Now, what are the two main areas of failure? Let me just very briefly touch on this. What are the two main areas of failure? First of all, it is the older generation. Many times we ourselves do not accept our responsibilities. I am sympathetic to the fact that some of you who are listening are extremely, extremely busy in your lives. You're extremely busy with work, with outside responsibilities, and even with the ordinary drudgery of the home itself. You're extremely, extremely busy. But I want to emphasize that we should never be too busy to put our emphasis where it belongs, and that is upon home and family. Not just the condition of the home and the beauty of the home, but the fact that the home itself is to be this tremendous spiritual influence on family members, both the parents and the children. It's to be an influence on them. Even if other things have to be neglected, we are to put our emphasis where God puts the emphasis. And so I think that we in the older generation must share a great deal of the responsibility for failure in our own children. And we have to accept this responsibility. And I've mentioned before, even as a grandparent, I recognize that I have a responsibility to my grandchildren. I don't interfere in the lives of my children, in raising their own children, but I realize that when I'm with my grandchildren are looking to me as a spiritual example and an influence on their lives. I never want to bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus. As old as I am, and am old enough to be the grandfather even of some of you parents, but I never want to bring shame to the name of Jesus. I want to leave behind a legacy of godliness and a legacy of example to these younger generations. And then, of course, to be fair, we need to also blame the younger generations themselves. In other words, many times, no matter how much and how careful we are in teaching our children, the children will not turn out always in the ways we want them to. Sometimes they will rebel. I believe this promise in the book of Proverbs, that when he is old, he will not depart from it, is not one of these absolute promises that a child would never, never, never depart. But it is a principle being laid down in the Word of God, that when we have done what we're supposed to do, it is very likely that our children are going to turn out right. Now, they may not do everything exactly as we have told them to do it, but they will turn out right for the Lord Jesus, and they will raise their children right. But the younger generation must bear a great deal of the responsibility. We're living in a strange world, and sometimes children will deliberately turn away from every scriptural principle they have been taught. Oh, how I pray for my grandchildren, that every one of these 18 grandchildren will trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and will follow him with all their hearts. Their parents, I believe, are dedicated Christians. As I look at my 4 children and their spouses, I believe they're dedicated Christians. But we're already praying for a couple who do not seem to be living in the way they should be living, who have not always turned to the truth as they should have turned to it. So it's possible for the younger generation to be rebellious. And this is a problem that we have to face as we raise our children. They may not always turn out in the way. But if we parents ourselves are dedicated to raising them and training them and helping them to be everything God wants them to be, it is still likely that sooner or later these children are going to turn to the Lord Jesus and they're going to follow Him with all their hearts. Some of them do this even a little bit later. I realize in some of your families, your children may not have trusted the Lord Jesus as a very small child. They may have trusted Him when they were a little bit older already, maybe when they were teenagers. And sometimes this distresses us. Why hasn't my son, why hasn't my daughter yet trusted the Lord Jesus? Eventually, through faithful training, through spiritual example, through prayer, through exhortation to our children, eventually many of these will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you have experienced this in your own families. And so the younger generations also need to be trained. And so I want to leave this with you. We're going to continue this in the next couple of messages. We're going to continue this subject of the training of the children. But I want to leave with you our responsibilities before God. We are responsible for training them. And the younger generation is responsible for listening and heeding the training they're being given. May the Lord help you, each one, to have spiritual homes and to be carrying the full responsibility of being parents.